They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time featuring Joe C.
And then he couldn't fire his glutes later.
Matt Hayes.
I'm not running over the Barnett Tower and heaving myself off.
And Leon Searcy.
Now you come across that middle, you have some meat on your bone.
How you like me now? How you like
Simple
me now?
Simple as that. It really is. When you hear Searcy size it up, basically, in just a few choice words, that's exactly what it is. And we're going to find out whether or not one of these selections tonight has a little meat on their bones and ready to battle. For your Jacksonville Jaguars, I feel like Peter Brady because the voice is just a little ragged right now. But it is draft day, and we cannot wait to see what the Jacksonville Jaguars do tonight. You got the big party down at Everbank Stadium, down at Daly's Place. Last night, Tony Khan got punched and power-drived last night. Now, if the Jaguars are willing to offer up a sacrifice like Tony Khan offered up last night at AEW, meaning they'll do anything to make sure they get the right guy. That was the precursor to what you can expect tonight. Did you see that?
Was that
Did
real?
You see that from AEW? Oh, yeah. Listen, everything in AEW is real.
I didn't know.
He got what now? He got power driver?
Let me just tell you something. I'm going to show you this.
I got power driver.
I got to see the video. He got punched and power drive. I remember the power drive.
Yeah.
And it let me just tell you something. It's something. And Tony Khan willing to take a little bit of abuse, no matter, you know, what it takes to get the job done and make sure it's a good presentation for the fans out there to enjoy. And the AEW audience went nuts last night when it went down.
So the president and the CEO of AEW got power drive in the ring.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. I mean, and so it was good theater. That's okay, for sure.
All right.
You pull that up on your.
I'm gonna have to check it out now.
And you can check it out. All right. Now listen. We want to hear from you today. You can hit the pop-off line at 207-7071. You can definitely hit the text line, 641-1010, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We will set up the X-Poll where you basically tell us what, if you are in charge, what are the Jaguars going to do tonight? We would love to hear it in any form or fashion. Just have some fun today and just tell us how jacked up you are, because the closer you get, there's going to be all sorts of things going on down at Daly's Place tonight. In fact, Big Searcy, you will be down there signing autographs.
Yep.
You, Paz, and Josh Scobie.
Q&A, signing autographs right before the draft, about 7:45. Draft's at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So we'll be down there. 30th anniversary, we're going to be asking a lot of questions about our time with the Jaguars and our draft experience. So I'm going to shoot away.
Yeah. So make plans to be down there and look for Big Searcy. In fact, we're going to go back in time and play that announcement. It was Paul Tagliabue who announced the Leon Searcy selection. Now, what has happened since we all hung out yesterday? If you're on YouTube, you can search 1010XL.com. You can see the live stream. You can throw some questions, comments, thoughts, what you think the Jags are going to do. Do it on YouTube by checking in with our live stream. But since we talked yesterday, the Michael Penix move, the Michael Penix conversation has been added to the quarterback class, where we are now talking about Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix. Six quarterbacks possibly being taken in the first 12.
Well, listen, we all here enjoy poker, right? We play poker, have a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
We posture. In poker, you posture and you lie, all right? And then eventually you got to show your hand, all right? This is what the NFL draft is. For the last couple of months, these teams have postured, they've lied. They said they like this guy, but now the draft is we're going to find out today who you're going to pick, who you like, whatever in the draft, as far as it goes. Matt was talking about this off the air today in our production meeting. He was talking about, listen, all these quarterbacks that are going, all these wide receivers that are going, you got two linemen,
right,
you got probably go. I mean, there's some quality guys that, you know, that in the pecking order may fall down. They may fall down to the 13, the 14, the 15s. And put us in a position where we might see a guy that we otherwise thought we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the interesting thing about the draft.
Yeah,
with all this quarterback love that they're getting,
it's the panic. It's the idea that someone's getting something and you're not getting something. And it's not just the quarterbacks; it's also a panic of, all right, well, now there's a quarterback run. Am I going to get that tackle I want? Because now I know he's gone because I know this team wants him. There's all kind of stuff that happens on draft day. We all know that. But the more quarterbacks that get selected, before 17 arrives, the much better chance you have a situation of sitting there at 17 with two or three guys at need positions that can help you. And the only reason I wouldn't take one of those two or three guys was if, like, Dallas Turner were still there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, if for some reason Dallas Turner's still there, and while defensive line is a need, mm-hmm. it's not, it's a secondary need. But if he's still there for some strange reason, I take him, and I mean, I actually sprint to the podium with that name, because yeah. then you're talking about, look, it's about affecting the quarterback and protecting the quarterback. You take him in the first, and then your second is an interior offensive lineman, and then you're good. You're good. You've done some work then, as far as making your team better for 2024.
Now, all this talk with Dallas Turner, what if Jerry Verse is there?
No, I wouldn't do it for Jared Verse.
He doesn't seem to be the sexy pick in your eyes.
Because he's not. Dallas Turner's a difference maker, I think. I don't think Jared Verse is a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dallas Turner's a house wrecker.
Yeah.
It plays with a little nasty little attitude.
He imposes his will on you. Yeah, absolutely.
And he'll play to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because remember, I blew him up for blowing up Jaden Daniels. He will play to the edge. He got a little dirty in him.
Okay.
But
Verse is kind of like Smoot. Mm-hmm. Whereas Dallas Turner's kind of like Josh Allen. If you want to look at it, like if you're talking about the idea of what these guys, I'm not saying they are these guys, but that's kind of what it is. I think Verse will be a guy that could get you 6, 7, 8 sacks a year, but he's not going to be a guy that can get you 13, 14, 15, which I think Dallas Turner can be.
He's not a game changer.
I don't think he is. No.
Well, and it also comes down to what Ryan Nielsen visualizes, what he mm-hmm. thinks he can get out of each of these individuals, whether he thinks he can bring and unleash Dallas Turner from that outside linebacker spot. Devin Lloyd, who was in studio with us last week, said he feels like he's going to be in a position more often to be able to rush the quarterback and make those types of plays. Well, but the bottom line is you got to find those types of dynamic playmakers.
Yeah, if the Jaguars was able to take Dallas Turner at 17 or move up to get him, so to say, you're talking about four first-round picks at the pass rush.
I can also tell you this too, Leon. Mm-hmm. It is honestly, if Leatu Latu is there, I think I take him too, because I think both of those guys are guys that can change what you do defensively, that can change how you cover in the back end. Because you know this as a former player, when you can rush the passer,
mm-hmm.
you make the corners that much better, because they don't have to run around as long.
Yeah,
so if you can force quicker throws, that helps the secondary. Same with the secondary. Secondary covers well. It helps your pass rush get home. We know all that, but the best way is to get that push.
Absolutely,
on the edge.
Yeah, absolutely. And you always say it. Listen, there's two things in the NFL: you help the passer and you affect the passer.
Affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback.
Exactly. If you can do those two things, and you can get players that can help you on both sides of the ball to affect the passer or to help the passer, then I'm all down for it.
Then you're literally setting yourself up to have positive strides in 2024. Now, I get it. I understand that you need a corner and you need a wide receiver, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. But I keep having to go back to this, is corner and wide receiver are the two biggest chances that you take in the first round. They just are. And if you look at what Adam Schefter tweeted out yesterday, he had the last 20 years the fail rate or success rate is what he had, success rate of first-round picks by position. Last on the board was wide receiver, 27%
mm-hmm.
success rate.
In first, the bottom.
First three were offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Center, tackle, guard.
Mm-hmm.
And edge is about 54%.
Yeah, the bottom five were cornerback, running back, safety, tight end, and wide receiver.
Mm.
So there's it is a dangerous thing to pick a receiver in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Not as dangerous for corner, but corner's percentage wasn't that good either. It was like 40-something, right?
Yeah, it was the highest of the guys on the, like we said, the bottom five. Cornerback was 38%.
38%.
And you got to remind yourself.
So less than 4 out of 10 picks in the first round in the last 20 years of corners
mm-hmm.
were success. Think about that.
But you got to remind yourself of a couple things. Center, 92%, because only very few centers have been taken in the first round, okay? And basically all they're saying is get to that second contract. They weren't necessarily Pro Bowlers or anything like that. They got a second contract, 92%. Offensive tackle, 59%. Guard, 50%. Now, that's the Quentin Nelsons, the Ryan Kellys, you know, those types of guys that have been drafted in the first round. cornerback it drops to 38. You got to also realize a bunch of cornerbacks probably do get taken in the first round, whereas running back is 38% getting that second contract, but there's only a handful of those that are taken.
No, and I get it. And I understand you, this can't be your baseline for everything you do. This thing that Adam Schefter tweeted out, this fail rate or success rate, however you want to look at it. But I think it absolutely has to be part of your philosophy. It certainly has to be, okay, well, let's at least look at the success rate over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. Let's at least see this because, you also have to look at what you've done in the last 5, 10, 15 years. You took a corner at 9, and he was gone in a year and a half.
CJ.
Right?
Could have been.
Mm-hmm. So, we know the history of this franchise at wide receiver, taking wide receivers in the first round. You know, we were joking on our Prime show earlier on Facebook that you also have to understand that the draft, it's the draft, but you also have to account for the Jag mean. You know, the mean and the medium, the bell curve. Mm-hmm. You got to account for the Jagness of it. Well, because the history of what they've done, right. And I don't care what GM it has been, it hasn't been good.
No. They have had more draft capital in the top 10 than anybody has basically in the last 15 years. And they have not done well with it. We know that. But to suggest they're the only ones that have had fails at the top is not true.
No, it's not true.
There have been plenty of other ones that have screwed it up just as bad.
It's not true, but they're historically bad.
They had a lot of shots inside the top 10 and did not get them to pay off. Dante Fowler, top 3 pick, did not get a second contract. Jalen Ramsey, top 5 pick, did not get a second contract. Leonard Fournette, did not get a second contract, top 5 pick. C.J. Henderson, number 9 overall, gone. We can go on and on.
And that's another part of the reason why Shaq Conner has probably spent the most money as an owner because they've missed so much on draft picks. The reason why you spend so much money on free agency is because in the draft, you missed on guys. Guys that you picked in the first, second, or third, or fourth round, whatever. You missed on those guys, and so now you've got to replace them with free agents.
Yeah.
So, that's the reason why you spend so much money in free agency is because you missed on the draft. Mm-hmm. That's what it equates to. You got to do a better job drafting players. It kills rosters.
Yeah. They better get it right this go around. Like we said, by Friday night, you got your three-piece meal by Friday night. You better get a first, second, third rounders that you think are going to immediately make an impact. Let's make that the 10-10 take right now just to kind of set up what we think could happen tonight.
Now, Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
Now, I'm thinking three-piece meal, okay? That I always ask for that breast, leg, and wing. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Smoked slow, ready to go. They got all the delicious sides. Check out any one of your area Sonny's, especially if you're heading home to check out the draft. But by the time we get to the 17th pick tonight, a lot of people are talking about whether or not this team's going to move up, move back, whether they're going to stay where they are. I'm of the thinking that this team can stay at 17 and get a quality player because of the chatter that we're hearing right now about the possibility of 6 quarterbacks going in the first dozen picks, throw in 3 wide receivers at a minimum, throw in 3 offensive linemen at a minimum, and now you've gotten to 12, and then you kind of take a look. Does more than one defensive end come off the board? Is there another tackle that comes off the board? Where are we at with the cornerbacks? We haven't even mentioned them in that early draft math. Bottom line is, 17, you stay there. You don't have to give up any extra draft capital, and you are going to get a good player if you make the right selection. That's the 10-10 take. That's what Trent Baalke's got to do tonight to make sure linemen, interiorly, tackle, whatever it is, look at Byron Murphy. Don't ignore that guy if he's sitting there at 17. And then, obviously, all the defensive backs that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm.
You also got to include, you see, Brock Bowers, we didn't throw him in the mix as far as wide receivers.
That's true.
He'll probably be another guy. So, you throw in the quarterbacks, you throw in the offensive lineman, you throw in the wide receiver, you throw in the tight end. Yeah, you got some quality guys that are still up there that can leak, like a Leaky Faucet that can just drip down into number 17.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that could happen right now, but this day is important. Okay, there's no doubt about it. I think the next 3 picks after are really going to be the difference with this franchise. Mm-hmm. Because if you have another 2-3-4 like you had last year, the 2-3-4, that's going to be a big problem.
Right, because you hit a home run, Trent Baalke did, with Anton Harrison starting every snap and was a first-round pick. He was a success. But then when you go, you follow that with Brenton Strange,
Tank
follow
Bigsby
that with Tank
and Ventrell Miller.
And then Ventrell Miller. And then you can throw Tyler Lacy in there, too, because those were 2 fourth-round picks.
You can't do that.
That's five guys in the first four rounds, and only one of them started and made an impact.
Who do you assess the blame to? Because obviously the offensive line coach got his guy ready to play at that particular position at that particular time. Why weren't the other guys ready to play at some capacity?
Maybe
it's about development.
Maybe it's just on the guy at some point too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying you got to – you can't always blame the coach, and you got to wonder if you got the right guy who's ready to play the game, because everybody wants to assess what his coaching is developing. Well, but sometimes it's on the fellow. Was he doing the necessary means in the weight room, in the film room, on the practice field to get himself on the field? Because at some particular time, if you're a high-round draft pick and you're not playing, that means they don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
That means they don't trust you, and that means that you're doing something in a daily routine to assess the fact that you're not getting on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
They cannot have the next three picks after the first round pick. Excuse me, even the first rounder, obviously, but the 2, 3, and 4, those guys have to play.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
they're not just guys that are just backup guys. This team still needs guys that need to make impacts immediately.
641-1010. You guys hit us. Hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Get on YouTube. It is the MyBookie Digital Studio. You can go to YouTube, search 1010XL, throw up a comment there. And then on X, we'll set up. RJ, you got the X poll ready to rock and roll, bro? Give it to us.
Today's Twitter X poll, our XL primetime X poll question, brought to you by the good folks at Beaver Chevrolet and Beaver Toyota. What will the Jags do in the first round of tonight's NFL draft? We need your predictions. Give them to us below in the comments section. Hit up X and search at 1010XL.
Yeah, real simple to do. You can be in charge with this one. So go ahead and let us know what you're thinking, where you think they will go. Do they stand pat? Do they move up? If they do, who are they going to get? All that kind of stuff, offer it up. It is XL primetime on a beautiful Thursday right here in Duval.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
You got all sorts of things kind of flying through your Jaguar brain. I can just bet, trying to figure out how it's all going to go down. You get to make the choice. You can go to X, find at 1010XL, and let us know who you're going for tonight. Who do you think your Jacksonville Jaguars will go for tonight? There's so much intel out there as far as what is either being thought, heard, said, and it's Lion season, and it's probably going to be Lion season all the way until you get to tonight. And at some point, you're going to find out what the real deal is, what actual decisions are going to be made, and ultimately where they're going to go. Now, Trent Baalke, and this is a J.P. Shadrick fact, okay? He said that Baalke's made at least one trade in every draft he's led. 27 total in-draft trades in 11 drafts for the 49ers and for the Jags. So that
say the first part again, Baalke has what?
Has at least one trade in every draft he's led. 27 total in-draft trades in 11 drafts for the 49ers. He ran that one through 2010 to 2016. And then this will be the third fourth under Baalke, with 2021 being the first year with Herb. And so there you are. I mean, he's active. He's done stuff. But I don't know whether he's going to be moving tonight. He's made at least the indication that he'd like to, depending on who's there. And we'll pull that soundbite from when they were having the draft luncheon, just talking about the idea they'll start to look somewhere around that 12, 13, 14 spot and see whether or not they need to make the move. But based on the conversation we're having, they may not have to. They may not. There's enough there that they might be able to get the guy that they want.
It's possible. It's also possible that someone they didn't expect falls to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what do you
do? And you can't help it. You're going to go up and get him, which I'm okay with. You have to, if you're looking for a guy that we have all described, you describe him as dogs, I describe him as big cats, they have got to come in there and just ready to basically – feast on the opposition. And that's an offensive lineman, mauling defender. It's a defender winning those double teams and basically breaking through.
How long do you wait? That's the question.
Well,
like at what point, if you're at pick 10 and there's a guy there that you couldn't believe is still there, mm-hmm. do you move up to 11? Like that, I mean, that's really the question. Because if you believe in your heart of hearts that you're a player away, which I think they do. I don't know why, but I think they do. If you believe in your heart of hearts you're a player away and there's a player still there after 10 picks at 11, you move up six spots. And if you look at the Jimmy Johnson draft value chart, okay, the value for the 11 pick is $1,250. The value for the 17 pick is $950.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make up 300 points there at some point.
Right.
Which is going to mean you're going to need to give him your second, the Jags second, which is worth 420 points.
Mm-hmm. Which you'd have to go over. You'd have to either do that or the third and a combination of some other things, which I doubt would do it. I think they would want that second. They would make it a little tougher for you if you wanted to do that. But see,
it could also be like you give them the 17 and the 48, right? And then they'll give you the 11 and whatever their second or an extra third is.
Yeah.
So you'll have three thirds. It could be anything. There could be numerous positions that you're trading.
You're
going to have to fit that the points are going to have to match up for each team.
Right. But if you're moving from 17 to 11, they're not going to give you back something close to as good as what you gave them.
Right.
They're going to give you a little bit of some junk a little bit later on. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you move up to get that guy type of person. You're essentially you're actually getting rid of a roster spot. You're saying that this guy is so impactful that he surpasses what we need in the second round to where we're going to move up in the first round. So you're essentially
locking in one spot
right there. So you're giving up a roster spot, to be quite honest with you. So he's got to be that bad. He got to be a bad man.
Yeah.
To where you eliminate another position, a possible position, to go get this guy.
But do you feel like – I feel like they feel like they're like a player or two away. Do you not think that?
Well, it's funny because I was
– Just by the way they talk.
Well, listen, they say a lot of stuff that we like the guys we have. That was one of their anthems last year, and then they couldn't get to the quarterback for a long, long time.
Doesn't mean they didn't like him.
They gave up a ton of yardage in the last 5-6 ball games. In a regular season, liking the guys they had. They couldn't get a 4th-and-1 when they needed to, liking the guys that they had. And so they can say a lot of things, but they still needed people to affect the quarterback last year, even though the two comboed with Josh Allen and Trayvon to get to have as much impact on quarterback pressures as any other team out there. They did a good job there. They still didn't get him to the ground.
No, and I want to make that very clear. I don't think they're one or two people away. I'm saying I think they believe, by what they're saying, they believe they're close. And if you do believe that you're close, then you would move up. I would do whatever it took to move up. If your guy is there, and that's the question, how long do you wait? If your guy's still there at 9, do you go up to 9? You know, do you go up to 10? Do you go up higher than that?
All right, so here's Balky at the draft luncheon talking on that subject.
There's a lot, as you know, that goes into it. You know, we feel good about the group that's there, and at different positions, you know, that we're focused in on a little bit. But you don't know what's going to happen. You really aren't going to know what we're going to do until maybe the 12th or 13th pick. You know, then we'll look at the opportunity to potentially move up. You know, and if we get to 16 like we did last year and somebody calls and there's a chance to move back one or two, you know, you just don't know. It's you're playing it on game day.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they're not going to start to, you know, lob some heavy bullets until like 12, which, you know, that's.
Well, because they're not prepared to give up any more than they're maybe prepared to give up.
Right, right.
Because of the point
right.
value
so,
chart
so,
that we're
so
talking
if you're,
about.
Again, and again, if what happens is what everyone is predicting is going to happen, where you're going to get six quarterbacks in, they might be able to get to 12 picks in, and all of a sudden, holy cow, whoever's there at 13.
Right, right. And that could be the Dallas Turner. It could be the Latu. It could be one of the big linemen. It could be either
be
a Quinyon Mitchell or a Terrion Arnold, somebody like that. Who did you say?
Yeah. Fuaga.
Yeah, yeah. Fuaga is definitely
it
a
could
guy
be,
that.
Yeah, Fuango or Fatano. I don't know how they think about either one of them, but I mean, to me, those two guys are consistently in the 8 to like 14 or 15 range.
Off the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Matt hit the nail on the head. Even if we like the pick tonight, you cannot screw up tomorrow. Last year, went to bed happy on Thursday, Friday, date night with the wife. Was shocked to see the results on my phone. Day 3, after they chose Ventrell Miller, I told my toddler she could turn on whatever she wanted on television. And so that is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
It is not a one-round draft.
I think this team last year had a bit of arrogance after what they did in the playoffs. And, you know, moving back to get Anton, those picks that they made. I think they're pressing a little bit this year. I think they're in a situation right now where they feel, like you said, they might be a guy away. And if they have to move up to get that guy, if there's a run on quarterbacks, wide receivers, and there's a guy, I think they're willing to give up draft capital to move up and get a particular guy. Unlike last year when they moved back to get Anton Harrison.
You might have like actually hit something there. Could that arrogance have actually slipped into the draft where you're like, yeah, let's get Tank, little short yardage guy. We could waste that pick on that. Or let's get a backup tight end.
Oh, I don't think there was any question. Mm. Like, remember,
let's
now,
get a linebacker for even though we're full of linebackers.
Okay, remember,
they were full of themselves.
Evan.
That's what
so
happened.
You think it bled over into the draft then?
I think they'll be a little bit more pressing this year.
Interesting.
Well, the one thing is that I think, and I interpreted the second and third round decisions last year as Doug Peterson getting his way over Trent Baalke. And it may have been Baalke saying, you're right, look, we got enough of good on both sides of the ball. Now let's add pieces as opposed to let's fix some of the problems that we got. Because they did go into the add piece mindset as opposed to fix problems. Mm-hmm. Did you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean,
that's basically what they did.
This is the worst thing that was said last year that disalarmed them when they said, we feel good with our guys. We feel good with what we have right now. You don't never feel good with it. You keep the pressure on those guys so they don't get comfortable. Make them uncomfortable. Do you know how you make them uncomfortable? You bring in guys. You bring in young talent to keep them on their toes. I think this team had a bit of arrogance last year, felt good about themselves after losing to the Chiefs, and felt that going into the offseason that, you know, we got a good group of guys. We'll run this thing back. We'll be fine. Now, and for the most part, you know, first half of the season, it looked pretty good. But that last half, boy, whew.
That was fool's goal.
It was fool's goal.
We already went
it
over
was,
those first 11 games.
Was
that was fool's
goal.
Goal
it was.
Man.
But also, don't forget, you got to remind yourself, two things happened to the Jaguars last offseason that affected their first two round decisions.
Yeah.
It was the Cam Robinson suspension and tagging Evan Engram, knowing you had him for the year, but you didn't have him long term when the draft took place. Mm-hmm. You've got to remind yourself of that. Now, I liked the Brenton Strange pick. I'm not gonna back off of that. I did. I still think he can be a good player, but he was a wasted second round opportunity.
But
last year,
but they were
worried about Engram.
You know what you do, like they did this year, instead of waiting until after the draft, sign them before.
Which is what they did this year.
That's
Josh
what I'm saying.
Allen.
If you did that with Evan Engram, then maybe you don't take a second in the second round. You don't take a tight end in the second round if you get Evan Engram signed before the draft, just like Josh Allen. Because I initially thought, hey, this thing is going to linger. You have to get a defensive end to keep. But no, you sign Josh Allen. You get it done. So I mean, I'm not going to bail them out and say, hey, listen, they got that second-round pick for the tight end because they didn't get Evan Engram. You know what you do? You sign them before so you don't have to waste that pick.
Plus, you know what else, too, is those three guys, if you really look at those three guys, Strange, Tank Bigsby, and Ventrell, those guys were drafted. They knew they weren't going to play. They knew it. So there's no sense of urgency there. None. And they can say, you know, what was the thing that Mia was talking about, onboarding or whatever they said? Mm-hmm. If there's no sense of urgency for players, what's the idea, the threat behind, okay, well, you got to get on the field. Brent Strange didn't have to be on the field.
Right. Yeah.
They had a Pro Bowl tight end, right? Yeah. Tank Bigsby didn't have to be on the field because you got a 1,000-yard rusher there. So those picks not only hurt last year, they hurt this year.
Meanwhile,
they're now scrambling this year because of those three poor picks.
Meanwhile, the guy that knew he was going to start had the pressure of starting, Anton Harrison.
Right, and look what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Played
so
well.
He knew it immediately. There was no secret as to what was going to go down with him. At the minimum, he was moving from left to right tackle.
For four games, at the minimum, right.
But believe it or not, players play better when they're stressed. Don't make them comfortable. Whoever you pick in these first three rounds, make sure these guys have got opportunities to start and play immediately. Or otherwise, why are you doing it? Mm-hmm. Why are you drafting? Why are you drafting if you're not creating competition? Like you said, I totally agree. Last year they drafted in the second, the third, and the fourth round. Those guys weren't in any position to start in any capacity. Mm-hmm. So why'd you go after them?
I'm telling you, they looked at him as luxury picks, padding as opposed to fixing problems. All right, 641-1010, you guys can keep it going. Peter Schrager tweeted this out on X last night. Teams who I could see moving on up tomorrow, check back for accuracy later after the fact. But he did list Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Jags, Colts, Patriots as well. So we'll stay on the theme. Are they going to move up? Are they? If they are, who are they targeting? You can go to X and you can vote in our X poll. It is XL Primetime. Rolling until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sirs, and RJ.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime. Brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
You head to the MyBookie Digital Studio right there on YouTube. Just search 1010XL. Lock in on XL Primetime. Thanks for hanging out with us. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, drafted. Yes, drafted 11th overall. We'll hear that sound coming up in just a little bit, along with RJ Saunders. And you can definitely chime in on YouTube. Or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, vote in the X poll and let us know where you think this team will go, where you would go, what you got a hunch it might be. Off the YouTube, the My Bookie Digital Studio, Leon, they say 100% that they agree with you exactly. It's not always the coaches. You have to place blame on the player as well. Those guys, look, Tank Bigsby had an opportunity, honestly, man. Yeah. He had an opportunity to be not like a huge integral player early, but he was going to get his toes, and he ended up either coughing up the football, not handling an exchange, whatever it might have been, not picking up a blitz, and those kind of got him on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, listen, your scouting department is partly responsible for that kind of stuff because you got to do your due diligence. You're investing millions of dollars in these guys. You've got to ask questions. You've got to talk to teachers. You've got to talk to weightlifting coach, training staff. What kind of person is he? Does he come in the morning? Does he stay out late at night? All those kind of things. You got to find out if you got someone that loves to play the game of football and is going to be a professional about it. Your scouting department is there to make sure they do their due diligence on each player, and then they bring all this information and data to the GMs, to the head coach, and then they make a decision. They decipher all that information and make a decision on whether they're drafted or not. It's partly the scouting department, and it's partly on the GM for drafting the people.
You know who's really drafted well the last 3 years? 3 years, the Lions. Have drafted really well. Penei Sewell, who just signed the richest contract for any offensive lineman in the NFL. He was the first-round pick. Ali McNeil's a starter for them. Amon-Ra St. Brown, we know him, right?
You better believe it.
2021.
Third-rounder.
Right, 2022, a third-rounder. 2022, Aiden Hutchins, yeah, he's pretty good. Jameson Williams will be a starter for them. Was started late last season, okay? Kirby Joseph is a starter for them. I mean, Kirby Joseph was a late third rounder, 97th pick overall. Actually, fourth rounder, 97th pick overall. You look at what they're doing then last year. The last year's draft was even better, actually. Last year's draft for the Lions, Jahmyr Gibbs starter, Jack Campbell starter, Sam Laporta starter, Brian Branch starter. First four picks.
Yeah, and they
– boom, 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 boom.
And they hauled them in with the Matt Stafford deal to L.A., and everyone thought Detroit got the butt end of that deal by getting Jared Goff and the draft capital. Jared Goff is probably one of the more disrespected quarterbacks in the National Football League. Really not getting the credit that he deserves.
I mean, that's 10 guys in the last 3 years that are major players.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, there's no question. You got to get it right. And this team went through quite a long stretch of some really poor decision-making, some bad moves from 2008 on. And we've gone over them ad nauseum from 2008 all the way up until – 1 year they were not inside the top 10, and that was when they had Taven Bryan as their selection, 29th overall. But they went from 2008 all the way to 2022. That is insane. Insanely bad. All right, let me give you some saucy nugs when it comes to what the Jags have done in the draft. And, you know, we talk about where they have been, what they haven't done. Yes, there have been some screw-ups. There's no question about it. But when you start thinking about, you know, what this football team can do, and you hope like heck that they are going to be able to get in a position. In the first round since 1995, this team celebrating its 30th year, they have drafted, believe it or not, 34 players, 17 on offense, 17 on defense. They have drafted 4 wide receivers, 4 offensive linemen, 4 running backs, 4 quarterbacks, 1 tight end, only one. And that was the big Mercedes Lewis back in 2010. And then on the defensive side, the most that they've drafted at any one position, which makes sense, defensive linemen, because they kept going to the well with a lot of those pass rushers and then the interior guys with Big John Henderson and Marcus Stroud. Seven defensive linemen compared to just two safeties, three cornerbacks, and five linebackers.
Saucy Nugs.
Thank you, RJ. I always want to keep saying JJ. It's still the JJ effect. But I got to give RJ his love, his respect, all that type of stuff. But you start thinking about it. They've split it up, man. They have gone to all the different positions. They've done everything they possibly can to see if they could ultimately hit the right buttons. And like Matt just laid out, the Detroit Lions, they've scouted well, too. You have to give the Lions, the Rams, the Ravens, a handful of teams that annually go out there and find guys that step in and contribute.
So what's the percentile of success rate as far as those positions, the Jaguars? I know the offensive line has got to be low, ain't but Baselli.
Well, if you go down
Baselli's
the line.
Is only good, right?
Yeah.
All right. Others.
If you go down
Eugene
the line.
Eugene Rowe, Luke
Jokel.
Cheever.
Cheever was in the first round.
First round picks.
Okay, yeah,
only first rounders. Yeah, only first round. Yeah, it's probably only Baselli, actually.
I mean, they've hit more on defensive
side. Anton Harris.
Anton Harris, that's right. I forgot about him. Yeah, okay. All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I know.
That's probably it, actually.
That's it. No, I'm just trying to figure out his.
What was Mike
Pearson's pick? As far as first round picks.
What?
Mike Pearson
was a second round pick. Maurice Williams was a second round pick. But if you go back in time, obviously, Tony Baselli, James Stewart, Fred Taylor, Donovan Darius, those were all hits, okay? Mm-hmm. But those were also in the 90s. And then you start looking at the ones that were obviously more closer to recent vintage, the C.J. Henderson and Kalavon Chaisons, two top 20 picks that absolutely failed. Lawrence and Etienne, pretty good right now. Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd, yeah. You like what you've seen to this point. You hope more from Devin Lloyd.
So basically, on the defensive side of the ball, they've got a more of a winning percentage as far as first-round picks go compared to the offensive side.
Yeah, you'd probably have to go in that direction.
Yeah, okay.
And so I just look at it, and I like we said, there have been misses.
Not by much. I mean,
not by much.
All their first-round picks, the whole is not that good.
Yeah. Well, that's why it was one of the most least successful franchises for a long, long, long time. And hope that bad boy turns around and starts heading back in the right direction, which I feel pretty good about what they've been able to do in free agency, the way they've been able to free up money. They have not ignored the possibility of going out and getting a big-time playmaker, adding to that wide receiver room with big money. We could hear Brandon Ayuk moved to Jacksonville tonight. We still could hear that.
But see, here's the difference between what Matt just read off with the Detroit Lions, right, with all their successful picks or whatever, and you're talking about, you know, as far as us feeding the free agent friends, those guys that you listed, those draft picks, they're going to see most of them going to see second contracts. Mm-hmm. You know, our guys are bounced and gone, and we have to go into the free agent pool to make up for the mistakes that we made in draft picks.
Yeah, exactly.
The Detroit Lions ain't going nowhere. They're not going nowhere because they got a good, solid foundation with the draft picks that they pick and they develop them. And a guy like Penei Sewell, who was a top 10 pick, he gets 4 years, $112 million, $85 million, and he's going to be wearing a gold jacket one day. I mean, that's the star power that you need on this team that you draft that makes you look good.
I will say this. If that does happen, if that's a possibility, Brandon Ayuk, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all for that.
We need to be prepared for the possibility tonight that a big deal could go down. You can see a lot of trades. We said, at the very least, some of the talking heads that are talking to a lot of people that are certainly in draft rooms, war rooms, however you want to describe it, that they feel like there's going to be some activity. There's going to be some reaching to get a player. And then if they do, the San Francisco 49ers as an example, RJ, I don't know if you have that Johnny Lynch soundbite that we put together from yesterday, but he believes that he and Brandon Ayuk's camp can get together on a contract, and he wants him to be there forever, which is fine. That's the standard thing that general managers usually say. But at the same time, they haven't been able to get together. And Ayuk's still looking for a big deal. T. Higgins is still looking for a big deal. Trey Hendrickson last night says, get me out of town. Cincinnati, I want a new deal, or I want you to trade me. And so there's a few of those that are definitely going to be reaching, pushing, and seeing whether or not they can force their hand and get their team to basically execute a deal. And the San Francisco 49ers might have to do that with Brandon Ayuk.
I mean, clearly they don't want to give up their first. the Jags. But if you could get away with like a second and a fourth, would you do that?
I'd be real interested. I'd be real interested. All right, here's John Lynch. This is at least what he had to say when they had their pre-draft luncheon.
You know, B.A., I've communicated on a couple occasions, on many occasions, our wish. And our wish is that he's here and a part of the Niners for the rest of his career. You know, we're working through that. And, you know, as such, you know, I was a player once, and I never liked my business being out in the public. And so I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to speak for their side. I can say we're having good talks, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
So that's where they are. But you know he wants to be paid. He is the number one receiver in Frisco. That is, there's no debate there. Got a really good tight end. They got a really good system. Got a lot of good guys up front that move people around. That makes Christian McCaffrey look good. Brock Purdy look good. All that. Ayuk is a key cog in that machine. Debo, of course. You got to include him.
It's always interesting to me, the GMs, to say that they're willing to do what they need to do to keep him here for the rest of his career. But then do it. Why isn't it done? That's what I don't understand. Well, it's not my job to find the money. It's your job. I did my job.
Yeah.
I put myself in this position. Go find me the money. Don't tell me what you would like to do.
I don't
go
disagree
do
with you, but they got a lot of guys to get ready to pay, too.
Well, listen, I'm in line. You listen, it's like a lunch line, all right? My tray's up first.
Yeah. And what happened is they paid. They paid Trent Williams. They paid to go get him. They paid to go get Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. They paid Debo, and Debo says, I'm doing more for you than you guys are paying me. So they got him. They gave Kittle the deal. Brock Purdy, he ain't got a deal right now. He's making beans compared to what these other guys are making. Mm-hmm. But they have all those other guys that they obviously have to have enough money for.
And this is his money year. This is Brock Purdy's money year, basically. This is year three.
Yeah.
So he's on a three-year deal. So this is his money year.
So they're going to make him play out this deal, really? Seriously?
Oh, I bet they do, yeah.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Well, they'll probably
find that man that money. Find that man that money.
I think they'll get him a contract at the in next offseason. Just not now.
Oh, okay. So he gonna go in there and make it. Nah, he gonna go in there and make it 880 again.
Oh yeah.
And play Patrick, who make it 45.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That. Yeah. Okay.
That's the nature of the game.
Man, play that. Give that man his money, man.
But you know what? They'll
put him in the high tax bracket.
I keep telling you guys this every single time. Every day they don't get paid, they're making more money.
True facts.
They are making more money every single time. That's for sure. All right. So 6-4-1-10-10. We'll take a look at what the 17th pick yielded a season ago, because we are down to 2024 when the Jaguars pick 17th tonight. So we will get into that coming up, and then definitely get into some of your thoughts as far as where you think they may go. You can go to X. You can go to YouTube. Search 1010XL. The MyBookie Digital Studio is right there, and you guys can jump in or hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL.
With the 17th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Christian Gonzalez, defensive back, Oregon.
Here's Tua looking deep, taking a shot downfield for Tyreek. Underthrown, intercepted. The rookie Christian Gonzalez, who is having another impact game.
Well, he started out definitely having an impact. That was a year ago with the last of the 17th overall picks that we have played for you, just to get a feel for the type of talent that is sitting there at 17 a year ago. New England taking Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback. He ended up having the season cut short by injury. Started in four games. Finished with 17 tackles, one sack for a loss, a pick, you know, whatever, a handful of decent stats. And when you're trying to defend the Tyreek Hills and the Jalen Waddles of the world, yeah, you need to have a cornerback like that. So cornerback 17th overall, not unrealistic at all when you take a look at your Jacksonville Jaguars. Welcome into the 3 o'clock hour. It's XL Primetime. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, RJ Saunders. We're going to be counting it down. You got the Frangie Show that'll come up at 4 o'clock, and then the draft coverage will begin after the Frangie Show. And is Rick doing 6 to 8, or does it – he'll do 6 to 8, and then it'll go right into the draft special. So we're going to have it all afternoon and into the evening, and hopefully you're going to be heading down to Daly's place and taking it all in. I want to know if somebody was at AEW last night and watched what went down with Tony Khan. That's what I do want to know. If you guys would hit me on the text line at 641-1010 or in the MyBookie Digital Studio, if you did check that out. Did you see it, Sirs? I saw it. Yeah, what'd you think?
Tony may be a little sore.
He's not the biggest cat. He's been in studio with us.
Yeah, he may be a little sore this morning. Yeah, you get power drive like that, absolutely.
You know why, too? Because in the heat of the moment, like, you know, you can practice it, and it is acting, by the way. You can practice it, and you know, you could feel like, all right, we got it, you know, we're safe, but you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, you better believe it.
You never know.
And we always talk about scripting and all that kind of stuff. The moves are still the moves. And when you have somebody coming off the top rope to assault you, you definitely are going to have to take a little bit.
I love how you call it scripting.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, patrons at Augusta.
Yeah, exactly. The second nine at Augusta. All right, so we've been spending a lot of time looking at this 17th pick overall, looking at the top half of the draft, what could happen. And what might happen with the quarterbacks. If I'm sitting here trying to measure all these quarterbacks and we're looking and trying to figure out where the superstar is, where the bust is, and I'm sure there are other years, Leon, where we've had this situation, but I honestly can't remember. Matt, maybe you might remember, when have we had a half dozen quarterbacks in the conversation among the top 12 picks? And is it just because of how urgent everybody is now to get that quarterback question answered? Because this is ridiculous. Hey, listen, anybody out there that watched the SEC and saw Bo Nix play SEC football, did you ever imagine he would be going in the top 12 in the first round? SEC fan, you can answer us and tell us what you think.
Not Auburn Bo. No, absolutely not. He was
Duck Bo.
Duck Bo was good.
No, but guys,
Auburn Bo was bad.
Guys develop. Come on, you can't hold that against him.
No, listen, I loved watching Duck Bo. It was one of the treats for me, watching late night Pac-12. The guy was sensational, but it was against a different type of defense that he was facing. He definitely had a lot of good things around him. I love their coach. You know how much I was on the bandwagon for what Lanning was doing up there and what Bo was doing. But if I take a look at what he did, you ready for this? All right, 2023, this is Duck Bo, had 45 passing touchdowns, first in the FBS, 4,500-plus passing yards, second in the FBS, one of three quarterbacks in the FBS history with 4,000 passing yards and a 75% completion percentage this season. That's pretty strong, but just take a look at his completion percentage in the SEC versus his completion percentage in the Pac-12. 61 career starts. He amassed some experience in the college football game.
Yeah.
34 at Auburn, 27 at Oregon.
All right, so you asked about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I will give you the answer. The record for the most quarterbacks selected in the first round of the NFL draft is the classic 83 class. Six. So if there are six picked this year,
so that's Elway
will tie the
Moreno.
Record. So the six in that class were John Elway, Todd Blackledge, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien, and Dan Marino.
Yeah, Elway to Marino.
Drafted in that order, by the way.
Give me that order again.
John Elway, Todd Blackledge, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien, and Dan Marino.
Six that year. And that was Elway to Marino. Marino went where?
Like 23?
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was right around the early 20s.
Yeah, early
last
20s,
one.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the first 12 tonight.
Yeah.
Three Hall of Famers in there, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the others.
Ken O'Brien wasn't a bad quarterback.
No, he wasn't.
Tony
Eason
wasn't a bad quarterback. Well, Blackledge kind of a bust.
Yeah, Blackledge he was a highly decorated Penn
great
State
color analyst,
college
but
quarterback.
A bust
great,
quarterback.
Great analyst in the SEC world these days.
But. If I'm not mistaken, the Steelers were in the late teens and they passed on Marino.
Yeah, because remember, what was his description,
crazy.
Leon? Party animal.
Oh, yeah, party animal.
Not devoted, not dedicated.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
How'd that work
stuff.
Out?
By the way, Joe Blackledge is with the Big Ten now.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Yeah,
he's Big Ten analyst now.
Okay, because he's still ESPN though, isn't he?
No, he is, but he left. No, he's doing the NBC game. I believe it's the NBC.
He's doing
game.
NBC.
He left last year, actually.
These guys move around too much. Yeah. Listen, I was a Blackledge fan. He had that long run with Brad Nessler.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, before Nessler took that top spot in the CBS lineup, and then I felt like I heard him for a while with Joe Tess. Joe Tessitore. I felt like I heard him with him for a while. And then he popped over on NBC, huh?
Yeah. I think it's NBC. I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, he's good. He's a very good analyst. I would see him annually at ACC or SEC or whatever, and I always like him. He's a super nice guy. But yeah, he was the second highest drafted quarterback that year.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're sitting here going. We don't know. Like you said, three Hall of Famers came out of that Elway, Kelly, Marino in 1983.
You'd be incredibly lucky to get one out of this year's class.
And we expect that there's going to be bust in this year's class. But potentially, if there were six to go in the first round, mm-hmm. could you be looking at another special class of quarterbacks?
Well, here's the question. More than likely, who will be wearing a gold jacket? If you would say it right now.
I'm going to
guess. Out of the six quarterbacks, more than likely.
I don't think any.
I said more than – give me one. Just on talent alone.
One, huh?
I'm going to say Caleb.
I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I'm going to – that's who I'm guessing.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Ola Caleb.
I think Jaden Daniels got a lot of elbow boogie in him.
We'll see.
He could be a bust in 3 years, but he reminds me a lot of elbow boogie. And he's a better thrower than elbow boogie.
So here's another one that kind of got me just a little bit. And I'm going to see if I can find this. Because Drake May – is now one of the more, you would have to classify him as one of the more disrespected quarterbacks in this class. Who has fallen farther? Who has had to take a step back as others have been propped up? He may still go in front of Michael Penix and Bo Nix, but he has had to take a back seat to Jaden and Caleb, and he's been knocked around. He really has, as far as what the opinion that these analysts have of him.
You know what? He's the Mac Jones. You remember how Mac Jones essentially was thought he was going to go high in the draft, and then he ended up slipping down to the Patriots?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way about Drake May. I mean, he's just getting totally disrespected. If Bo Nix goes before Drake May, I don't know what I might do. I'm just saying, bro. I mean, but every year
you're going to do a cartwheel?
No, I ain't doing no cartwheel. I'm going to turn up some tables, though. I'm going to have to turn up some tables.
Okay, so here's a saucy. And this kind of surprised me. Drake May, in his college career, you look back at the last couple of seasons, and this last season was not necessarily his best. They were not in love with Drake as much at the end of the year as they were at the beginning of the year. But over the last two seasons, on scramble yards, and picture this, Matt, because I call him, he starts out like a giraffe, but he can move a little bit like a gazelle when he gets rolling. 953 rushing yards on scrambles the last couple of years, second in the FBS.
Saucy nugs.
That's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't ignore what he did. And he did some stuff. Now, granted, one of the last guys that had the same type of rushing yards and passing yards was Kyler Murray. And I don't really know exactly what to think of Kyler Murray, but I think Drake May is going to be more of a success.
So here's the problem I have with Drake May. You were talking about Bo Nix now. He completed 60% of his passes at Auburn, right?
Mm-hmm. And over 70 at Oregon.
Right. Drake May, against the ACC last year, completed 61% of his passes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not good.
In the all-conference, all-coast conference.
Yeah.
All-coast.
Plural. Any-coast conference.
Any-coast conference, yeah. That too. Right?
That includes the ones that are crossing the border right down there. Any-coast conference. All of them are included.
But you see what I mean? I mean, and I agree with you. Accuracy is a big deal. And if you're completing, and again, at college, at that level, if you're going to be an elite quarterback at college, you are expected to complete 7 out of 10 passes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
70% is the level. That's where you got to be. If you're completing 6 out of 10 against in a league that is considered not as good as the top two leagues,
mm-hmm.
then that's got to be a question, does it not?
Yeah, yeah. And so I know that he, and again, I really dig his skill set. Everything that I see about him, I like. But at the same time, there were more questions than answers at the end of the year. So I'm not going to deny that.
He's kind of like a bigger Trevor Lawrence without the accuracy.
Yeah. Well, he reminds me of Justin Herbert, because Justin Herbert was second-guessed a lot coming into the league and then proved a lot of people wrong. He was able to rock and roll, really, from the jump. And he also didn't have a whole lot of everything around him down in L.A. the way he would have liked. But I don't know whether Drake's – do you feel like he has the most potential of being a bust? Because I feel like Bo Nix has the most potential of being a bust.
Yeah, but I'm not counting Bo. I mean, of the four major ones, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not counting Penix and Nix. Of the four major, who has the potential to be the biggest bust, I would say it's Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely would. Because I think J.J. McCarthy's – he's rising right now. I think he's ascending. And I think the other two, just on talent alone, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, have the ability to make it in the league. Doesn't mean they won't. Just mm-hmm. saying they have the sheer talent to make it.
Yeah.
I'm rooting on Drake May now because I think it may be J.J. McCarthy. All this love that he's getting. I haven't seen enough from him.
I love
him.
That.
I haven't seen enough from him.
You know what he had this year?
I know he had three good – he had three outstanding runs. The championship game with his legs and his arms and the running game won the game. But all throughout the season, they really weren't that much. Michigan was that more dominant than everybody, especially
right,
up front.
When they needed him?
But when they needed them,
Ohio State,
when they called the bell, absolutely, he was
playoff
there.
Playoff semifinal championship game.
The last three
there,
games,
baby.
Absolutely, absolutely. He showed and tell the last three games.
Hey, you know
if
what,
you're telling me that I'm going to get that,
you're gonna get that
every
guy.
Sunday, then sign him up. Sign me up.
You know what he had this year in terms of throwing touchdowns? Less than half of what Bo Nix had.
I can believe that. He
had 22 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Yeah.
That ain't a lot.
No.
That's not a lot of handing off. To go, what was it, 15-0 or whatever the number was.
How many attempts did he have, and how many did Bo Nix have?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Like we said.
I bet Bo was probably twice the amount of attempts.
I'd have to look at the completion percentage. But Bo, as much as, like I said, Duck Bo was pretty good because this year, this season.
I'll tell you right now. So Bo.
75% threw, completion percentage.
Right. Bo had completed 77% of his passes, okay? Mm-hmm. He had 470 attempts. How many attempts did JJ have?
I don't have.
Got JJ up there.
The
let's look up JJ.
So 470. I bet it. You probably can cut it in half, mm-hmm. because all he did was hand the ball off, or not all, but quite often that's what he was doing
JJ
more than
the
anything.
Ball 352 else. Times. Completed 72% of his passes.
Okay, all right. That's against the tougher Big Ten defenses.
Yeah, like Maryland and Minnesota.
Minnesota's deep. Prior to this year, was really good.
Oh, okay. Well,
this year, not good.
Okay.
Yeah, row that boat. They're gonna row old Fleck right out of there before long if they don't get it done, because they paid him a bunch of money too. That's for sure. All right, so the Jags. When you start looking at 17, when you start looking at the possibility of trading, we'll get back into that conversation. Just kind of really zero in on where you think the best value might be. Names that we have not brought up. Let's bring them up right now, because we have talked about a handful of guys, but there was even a guy that was mentioned as a possible pick at 17. That led Leon to basically say, if that happens tonight when he's up there on stage signing autographs, doing the Q&A and all that kind of stuff, well, he'll tell you what he's going to do if that happens. Coming up on XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
I love the text line when
we were talking about what, AEW?
Yeah.
Right, we were talking about AEW. It's pretty funny because, you know, we joke about how it's fake. Joe says scripted, you know, which is sort of like him saying patrons at Augusta, Leon. Anyway, 248 chimes in and says, it's Andrew from Jacksonville Beach here. The move Tony took after getting attacked was a Metzler driver, which when we were growing up, Leon, we called it a what?
Pile driver, right?
Pile driver,
yeah,
right.
Pile driver, yeah.
Moves intended to be targeted at the neck and the ring. They do show as a wood covered by mat. This is, I know Andrew must be doing this through Siri because this isn't that good. Anyway, saying it's no give. Careers, he says, have been ended by neck injuries in wrestling, so anything could have happened here. Anything could have happened last night, Leon.
Yeah.
So good on Tony for going in there and, you know, getting pile-dried.
Well, yeah.
Because anything could have happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
He weighs like 150 pounds. Yeah, anything could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
That I would not put my body in harm's way like that with those guys.
In the world of
you.
Scripted wrestling, anything could happen.
Listen, I will always maintain this. If it's written, okay, that's in a script. You still have to execute the act,
true.
Okay? And there's still a hell of a lot of athleticism and pain that's inflicted.
Yeah, man, don't ruin my childhood, all right?
Come
I grew up
on, man.
Saturday
I loved
morning
it.
Wrestling, all
right? I love Gordon
well,
Sully.
Don't
yes,
pan
of course.
It right now.
You kidding me? I
loved
it.
Come on,
it was man. Awesome.
Come on, Junkyard Dog.
The Briscoe Brothers, yes.
Dusty Rhodes, all those
yes.
guys. I did my chores early in the morning so I could catch Saturday morning wrestling.
So did I. You kidding right. me? So did I. Austin Idol.
Yeah, the sleeper yeah. holes, the...
Harlem Heat.
The half Nelsons they used to put on people.
The figure
the Cobra
four.
Cobra Clutch.
The figure four.
Figure four, bro.
You start naming some of those old wrestling moves, man, the Cobra Clutch and stuff.
That was Jack Briscoe's signature move, the Figure Four.
Figure four.
Like you saying that that wrestling ain't real. It's like saying going from the SEC to the Pac-12 isn't cutting
real?
in half the defense. I love on the text line. Bo Nix going in the first round makes me wish I played football. I'm 33, but going to research my eligibility, Patton Duvall, because I'm with you, bro, because he went from – he looked like a broken man in the SEC. And at some point, like later, a little further down our summer schedule, I have saved this soundbite from Bo Nix that we will play, and we will ask SEC fan if they have ruined the college football game for these players because of how much pressure – they put on them to win.
Well, also
because he talked a little bit about that, how it was just so much more of a paradise in Pac-12 land compared to the SEC.
Three OCs in 3 years at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's difficult for anyone. That's number one.
I get it.
Number two, he's a legacy there. All that pressure. Number three, as soon as he walked on campus, he was a starting quarterback. He went through a lot there. I'm not saying he played well. He didn't play well. He played well at times.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he didn't play well. Guys grow. Guys get better. Guys mature physically and mentally.
Yes, they do.
And he did.
Like I said, I'm rooting for him. Mm. I'm rooting for Duck Bo. But at the same time, it was a different set of defenses and talent that he was facing out there. I just want to see how he succeeds. I just never, ever would have imagined Bo Nix being described as the top 12 pick. Ever.
I will say this, though. If he's successful in the league, I will not be shocked at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because
he's got the size, he's got
the
arm. Yes,
okay. Now let me ask you this other question, because we're sitting here, and Leon, you know what it's like to play for either the Taskmaster and Tom Coughlin or Bill Cowher, who was a little more chill and laid back. But I don't know whether I see Sean Payton, who went toe to toe with Russell Wilson on the sideline, basically ran Russ right out of Mile High. How is Bo Nix going to handle that, based on the way he described the pressure in the SEC?
That'll be interesting. I mean, it'd be because, first of all, I've never, in my whole time watching Sean Payton, I never saw him handle Drew Brees the way he handled Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. I never saw that.
Good point.
So that was a little different for me. So it'd be very interesting. You bring in a guy like Bo Nix. I don't know if he reminds me of Drew Brees. I'm not talking about talent wise, but just, I don't know, maybe the mannerisms that Sean Payton may see in Bo Nix to where he would draft and bring it to the Broncos. I don't know. Just don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, there was also a difference there. Like, when he got Drew Brees, Drew had not become the elite player that he became.
He made him.
Right.
Yeah, he made him.
Right. So, when he got Russ was already Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, true. That's
so,
true.
I mean, I think that's the only difference. I just think Russ is declining. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback that's declining, whereas Drew was an ascending quarterback that hadn't really hit it yet.
And was willing to put in the work, whereas I think Russ had gotten paid. Russ said, if you got a problem with me, come see me in my office.
Right.
That's how Russ was handling things up.
Making the point, man.
I mean, that's how he was handling things up in Denver. And he ends up on the winning side of this because he's getting paid $30-some million not to be there. And the Steelers get the gift of all gifts. They get him for, a couple mil, which is just crazy.
1.1.
Will he have an office with the Steelers?
Who? No, absolutely not.
Right next to the four trophies?
Huh?
Right next to the trophies, will he have an office?
No.
Five trophies.
He's not getting an office.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he gave up on, as far as that being on his wish list, going from – because he was unceremoniously dismissed from Denver.
Yeah.
And basically kind of coming into Pittsburgh and Steeler land humbled. Like, he's got to prove something. And we don't even know if he's going to be given the job. Justin Fields doesn't really know what he's going to be guaranteed up there either.
You can't like be a pain in the ass and not complete a pass.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do both.
That's true. It's very, very true. And I love the texture. Give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Woo! Yeah, I love it. I love some of those old wrestling references, that's for sure. All right, with that, my Corona cat, Matt, we're planning our big Corona Trace de Mayo party next Friday. Matter of fact, he dropped off some Corona gear for us today. So next Friday, we're going to build up that Cinco de Mayo weekend with Trace de Mayo Friday at La Naperea right there on Beach Boulevard, the Nap, as you know it. So make sure you make plans to be there because we'll have some prizes to give away. But right now, let's do a little Corona call it.
He's going to drain it.
It all comes down to this.
Oh, how did you call that?
Game recognized game.
All right, so let's see if you guys got a little game. You got to call it as far as the Heisman Trophy and the National Football League is concerned, all right? So we are looking at teams that have drafted the most Heisman winners. The most Heisman winners, trophy given out in 1936. I want to know which team has drafted the most Heisman winners. I would love it if you guys could get on a roll here and see if you can give me anybody from the top three that have drafted the most Heisman winners.
I'm going to go with the... Wow. Wow. Browns.
See, the Browns is a good selection because it's a historic team, but it's not correct.
What about the Rams?
It's not in the top three. Rams. All right, you hang on to that one. Let me answer this one here. The Cleveland Browns selected Charles White, a Heisman Trophy winner. Johnny Manziel, a Heisman Trophy winner. Baker, a Heisman Trophy winner.
That's why I knew Baker and Johnny Manziel. I forgot about Charles White.
Yeah, so that's pretty good with three, but not correct. Your selection, Leon?
The Rams.
Okay, not number one, but it is number two. It is number two, and I'm just going to roll through them real quick because you have to go all the way back to the 40s with Les Horvath from Ohio State, Billy Cannon, Terry Baker from Oregon State, Mike Garrett from USC, Gary Beavin from UCLA, John Cappelletti from Penn State, and then the last two Heisman Trophy winners that the Rams drafted, Doug Flutie, and he went on to play for
USFL, right.
And Eric Crouch.
For Nebraska.
So they had nine Heisman Trophy winners that they've drafted.
And they're
drafted.
Now number one?
And they're not number one?
They're not number one.
Is it the Raiders?
Nope. Let me see if I can find the Raiders here real quick. Let's see here. The Oakland Raiders have four. Marcus Allen, Bo Jackson, Tim Brown, and Peyton Manning is saying this should have been my award, Charles Woodson. Number one team. Any more?
No, I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'll give you a couple more, and then I'm going to give you the big one. The Bears have four.
Wait, the Cowboys.
Nope.
No?
The Bears have four. The Saints have four. The Cincinnati Bengals have three. The Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers have six. With Earl Campbell, Mike Rozier, Eddie George, Marcus Mariota, Derrick Henry.
Very
number
nice.
One, the team that's still drafting well that Matt talked about earlier.
Lions.
The Detroit Lions.
How many?
With 10.
Wow.
Let's hear them.
10. Larry Kelly out of Yale in 1937. Clint Frank out of Yale the next year. They went back-to-back with Heisman Trophy winners. Frank Sinkwich out of Georgia in 1943. Glenn Davis out of Army. What was that? What was their slogan? Left, right?
The Four Horsemen.
Yeah. No. Glenn Davis and his teammate. I mean, I know they had that, but there was just some slogan that they had back then in the, was it left, right? I'm trying to think of what it was. Leon Hart out of Notre Dame. Howard Cassidy out of Ohio State. Steve Owens out of Oklahoma.
These are all old guys.
Yeah. Billy Sims out of Oklahoma. And then the most recent one, Andre Ware and Barry Sanders. There you go. 10. Unfortunately, you guys
you
did
thought
not
that was that easy, that like, we were going to continue the streak with that one because you thought it was gettable?
No. I never said this one was gettable. I never said that. I knew this one was going to be a little tough, that's for sure. But I go and I look and I see some of the other teams that have drafted Heisman Trophy winners. And, you know, even the Carolina Panthers have three. Name them.
Bryce. Cam.
An old man. Seminole fan out there knows.
Oh, Chris Winkie.
Wow.
Yeah. So even they have three Heisman Trophy winners that they drafted. All right, so let's get back to you, Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll spend the last bit of our show before we get ready for the Frangie Show, focusing in on 17. As we said, we talk about some of the players that we haven't mentioned nearly as much as the others. We need to hit the cornerback class. We need to hit the wide receiver class of those that we think that will be available around 17. And then the offensive linemen. that we think could be there. And maybe one or two defensive tackles could be floating in there as well. We'll do that coming up. It's XL Primetime.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So it appears we've found our faller for this year's draft, or at least potential anyway.
Potential faller.
Brian Thomas Jr. apparently has medical issues. According to Albert Breer, both of LSU star receivers, Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers, have issues with their left shoulders. The risk here is considered relatively minimal in both cases, however, but there's a chance one or both may have to have the shoulder surgically repaired after the 2024 season.
How is this coming out now?
I'm just saying, I was about to ask the same question. Why is this leak right now, the day of the draft?
Anyways, Brian Brzee, Saints first-round pick last year, had a similar situation with his shoulder coming in the draft and also fell.
But the fact that they're listing both of the LSU wide receivers, both with shoulder problems, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
now
but it appears only Brian Thomas Jr. is going to fall.
Yeah, who's getting the last word? Marv. Marv's getting the last word on all this.
Right.
Because they were trying to move those other cats above him. Now, did they have any chatter? Was there any chatter like that before this happened? Let's go back in time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been told to him before, stay in his era. Well, this was his era.
With the 11th pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Leon Searcy,
like we said,
tackle, University of Miami.
Like we said, we don't win dinners on this one.
Another need of somebody to block for those running backs.
I think they need a left guard desperately. Certainly a running back would have filled the void, but they may be able to get a Derek Moore from Northeast Oklahoma in round two. Leon Searcy maybe wasn't expected to be there. Everybody thought he would go to New England earlier. They traded down. That allowed him to slide to Pittsburgh, who needs to plug in a left guard as a starter immediately. Leon Searcy played a left tackle spot for Miami in that pro-style offense, so he's experienced in pass protection. Had to go up during his career against the likes of Hawkins and Cortez Kennedy, Jerome Brown, so you know he can go against top players and handle them in one-on-one situations.
That's a young Mel Kiper talking about a young Leon Searcy.
Mm-hmm.
Calling you a guard, bro.
Yeah, man. I was a little ticked off about that, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, I didn't care.
He ruined your moment.
Hey, he did. You know, I mean, listen, I went through a lot to make sure I was considered a tackle, you know.
Yeah.
But, listen, I was the highest guard drafted that day. Well, here's the thing. Coming out in Kiper's thing, I was the number one guard in the country.
Right.
And I was the number two tackle behind Bob Whitfield, so.
So well, how listen, about this?
Yeah, it worked out. Anyway.
They also, talking about the Steelers, during that reaction to Leon being drafted, thinking that the Steelers were going to go running back with their pick, but they went with great Leon Searcy. There was a great pick.
Yeah, dang right it was, because as soon as they second guess it, you know it's going to be a good pick, because that's why you heard all that chirping. They were all jumping in like they made a prediction, and then Pittsburgh went in a different direction.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh forever did what they did, right? They blocked up front and they ran the football.
Absolutely. I mean, Bill Cowher, I mean, taking offensive lineman, he was, I even heard an interview where he was talking about it. It was setting the tone for what kind of team he was going to have.
Yeah.
We were going to run the ball, be physical, and we were going to be sound on defense. And that, my 4 years in Pittsburgh, that's what we were about.
Yeah, that's it. As simple as that. All right, off the MyBookie Digital Studio, the YouTube page, search 1010XL. You can jump in there. I do love this one. Tony Khan greater than Vince McMahon because he was willing to put himself in there. Now, Vince has done all that stuff, but Tony Khan, slighter, smaller human being, and he was able to do it. Also off the MyBookie Digital Studio, if Shad is near signing T-Law for about a quarter of a billion, anyone think he might want that asset protected better than last year? If by some miracle, Fashanu or Fontenu are there, Balky may have to take either.
Or Fuanga.
Yeah.
Who I don't think is going to be. I think he's going to go in the top 10. But if for some strange chance he's
right
there.
And
even at like 13 or 12, which is what he said, 12 or 13, where you got to start looking to move up.
Yeah. And if you're looking at like, which one do you worry about? Okay, we talked about the quarterbacks earlier, Leon. Mm-hmm. So let's just hit this real quick. All right, Joe Alt is seen as one of the most can't-miss projects can't-miss draft picks that's out there.
One of the cleanest, Joe. That's how they like to say
there
it.
There you go. There you go.
Cleanest.
Perfect way to put it. Joe Alt, and I hate this, but the chance that either a New Orleans team or a Tennessee Titans team could get him. So I'd rather see him go to the Saints than go to the Titans. But anyway, the Titans have had Joe Alt on their radar 100%. So who are the riskiest guys after that when you start looking at Penn State's Fashanu, Alabama's Latham, Oregon State's Fuanga, Fontenot from Washington, and then you can go Mims at Georgia?
All great players.
Yeah.
You know, I hate calling out linemen. You know how much I love them.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you one. My only concern about one of them is probably me and Matt talked about this in the production meeting. Probably mm-hmm. Latham. Probably, okay. Latham is probably the only guy that I'm concerned to me. And I know I've seen this, what is this, PFFs. So I saw, you know, he only 2 sacks. He played a lot of starts, a lot of mm-hmm. snaps with everything. 6'6", 360. That
he's a
play
big
right tackle.
Human being.
I think that he's in a position where he can only play right tackle, to be quite honest with you, because he had the opportunity at Alabama.
Yeah, multiple opportunities.
Multiple opportunities at Alabama.
They went and got Tyler Steen from Vanderbilt to play left tackle for a couple of years. And then last year, they put a true freshman in there in Caden Proctor. And even though he struggled for the first 9 games of the season, they never moved Latham over there.
Well, I mean, listen.
If you're taking him, he is a right tackle.
Yeah. If he's going to go, it's going to be a late first or early second guy. Because he's a locked in. It's going to be like a Juwan Taylor. He's going to be a locked in right tackle mm-hmm. with, you know, no probability moving to left. Big wide body, long arms, big trunk, you know, decent with the feet. Struggled a little bit in the Michigan game. Struggled a little bit, you know. A couple of times, you know, he got worked a little bit. I mean, the whole front line did and got worked a little bit. But he's a quality talent. My only concern is that he's going to be a guy that's going to be locked in at that position with no room to be versatile where he could go to left or go to guard. Yeah. So he's a one-position man in my position.
And it's crazy that some people have him as maybe the second or third tackle coming off the board, which I'm trying to figure that part of it out.
No way.
Yeah.
Fontenot, those three in my – and then Fuanga, those are the best four right there.
So
those are the best four.
Latham's numbers, 2 sacks allowed in 27 starts over the last couple of seasons, 1.4% pressure rate last couple of seasons, which was 12th in the FBS by a right tackle, mm-hmm. Second team All-American. And so I'm trying to figure out which one of these guys might be the one that you worry about the most. I always worry about, like, say, Amarius Mims, the amount of injuries that he had to deal with. He had tightrope surgery. You talk about a 6'8", 350-pound mm-hmm. human being. And tightrope surgery on that ankle. And we've seen that tightrope surgery work for guys that are agile. I don't know about the big man. But anyway, he also had trouble injury-wise at the combine, too.
Give me that Latham height and weight again.
He's 6'8", 3. This was Amarius Mims I was talking about.
I'm talking about Latham.
Yeah, I don't have Latham's height.
He's 6'6", 360.
Okay. Yeah, 360.
Mm-hmm. This is what bothers me about that. I saw 6'1", 240, Josiah Stewart just blow him up in the last play of the game against Michigan in the semifinal.
Oh, that's no bueno.
With the play, the quarterback keep, basically, from Jalen Milroe. Mm. And Stewart literally blew up Latham into Jalen Milroe, so he couldn't run. He couldn't take the spot where the hole was, where he mm-hmm. could have scored. Mm. So that, to me, was – they had double timeouts in that play.
Yeah.
So it was not like he didn't know what was going on.
Okay, okay, now he's 6'6", 325. I put on 35 pounds for him.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
But also, there's a low snap too, bro. The center had a low snap. I mean, yeah, he got blown up. Yes, he got blown up. He got blown up. I saw that. I mean, because I saw the whole right side crumble. And I was like, what is that?
He got destroyed on that play.
Well, you want to know why?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Mm. Connor Stallions. That's why. Mm. They knew what the play call was.
That was like a one-on-one drill is what that was. He got abused.
I was just trying to work Connor Stallions in the conversation.
But Matt Hayes, does one play make a man?
No, it doesn't. Absolutely does not. But certainly, you know, we always talk about red flags.
Yeah.
Certainly a little bit of red flag.
Yeah, you can't let 230 blow you up.
No, especially the biggest play of the season.
True.
Like we were talking about when Aiden Hutchinson got destroyed, and he's been able to make a pretty good living in the National Football League. Mm. All right, real quick, Jaguars, the 17th pick overall. These are at least odds that's being played out right now. Cornerback is the betting favorite, minus 200. It's the only negative odds that you have, minus 200, 1-2 choice. Wide receiver is plus 325 at 13-4. Offensive lineman plus 350. 7-2 odds there. And then you have some larger odds with the line, defensive line or edge. You're looking at, it looks like 950. Safety 50-1, linebacker 80-1, tight end 80-1, running back. We all know those are not going to be positions that, they're going to draft. But you would go cornerback, wide receiver, offensive lineman, defensive lineman.
Here's the one thing I love about the draft. The odds are, I go with that. But I like the fact that it's unscripted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unpredictability of the draft is why you watch it.
Because
everybody's saying, well, this guy's going here, this guy's going here. You don't know. I'm hoping for chaos. I want someone's going to get overdrafted. Someone's going to get drafted that no one expected. Some guy in his late seconds ago. That's what I love about the draft, the unpredictability.
Somebody's going to take, like, Xavier Worthy at 17, and then, you know, everybody's going to go, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to flip the
table.
All
right, tell everybody what you're going to do if that happens down at the Daily Show.
Well, listen, I got nothing against Xavier Murphy, okay? But what I'm saying is if there's guys there's guys available, like Dallas Turner, if he's still available, and we take Xavier Worthy.
So you tell me, if they take 170-pound wide receiver versus a 250-pound grown-A man.
Are you allowed to flip tables there?
I don't know. I might be escorted out.
Well, you got to check it, because honestly, and it was just one guy's opinion, but Peter Schrager was one of the guys that put it out there.
He's dialed in.
And look, Schrags is definitely dialed in. Good Morning Football. He works his tail off with Fox, all that. And he was kind of generating some mocks here down
the stretch.
And
that's out of the blue, which makes me think, does he know something?
Yeah.
Has he talked to someone there?
You go from what is silly season to lying season to actual truth serum being injected into these GMs, and you're actually getting real information.
Right.
Like this Brian Thomas thing starting to come out now that he's falling a little bit. I don't know whether there's legitimacy to that, but I'll just tell you this right now. Hey, Trent. If you're looking at a guy, look, I want a guy that's fast, that's over the top, that can really take a safety with him and pull some bodies off the line of scrimmage. I'm all about it. Mm-hmm. But don't just take the fastest cat and think he can get the job done against big-time corners, especially if he weighs 170 pounds. Because like Aaron Beasley told us, if you play the position right, you know how to move people. You can direct a receiver where you want him to go if you play the position right. And so – Worthy, what were the numbers, Matt? When it was all like John Ross.
That's where I was going to go.
John Ross set the record for the 40, and they fell in love
with
him.
Ninth?
Yeah, he was top 10 pick. Cincinnati fell in love with him from Washington.
He was an All-American. Washington put up big numbers at Washington.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Xavier Worthy put up nice numbers at Texas.
Yeah, it is not a track meet, says the MyBookie Digital Studio. And go get Coleman, because Coleman has definitely been a guy that has been one of those – picks that people can't quite figure out exactly who he is. And I really am interested. If he is sitting there and they go get a big man in the first round and he's sitting there at 48, I would definitely be taking a look at that one. All right, which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at J.C. Latham. We were just talking about him. He's getting his wardrobe together. He's got the Rolex out.
Oh,
he's got the suit and the shoes and everything.
Meanwhile, Josiah Stewart won't even get picked this year. He won't even get picked in the draft.
By the way, sirs,
he blew him up.
On the YouTube chat, they're calling you a goat.
Huh?
They're calling you a goat.
I'll take that.
Sirs is a goat, and they said, appreciate the 90s here in Duval.
Nice.
That's the way it should be, my man. That's the way it should be. All right, so final prediction. Do they stay at 17, or do they move, and who do you see them taking based on
think they're going to stay at 17, and I think they're going to take my guy from Oregon State, Uwagu.
Okay.
Wow. If he's there, that'd be awesome.
Yes. That's me wishing. That's me hoping and wishing.
I would love that.
Yes.
All right. Who are you going for?
I would love that. I think Terry Arnold's going to be in. I think they're going to take him.
Okay. See, I was going to go Terry Arnold, but I'm not going to do that if he's going Terry Arnold. So I will go with Byron Murphy at the defensive tackle spot if he is still floating around at 17. I'll just go ahead and go in that direction. We'll see how it goes. We had a great time. We know that we've got the Franchise Show coming up, and it will be the setup to the Into the Night with Rick Ballew, and then at 8 o'clock we will have everything going on from Daly's Place. But Hayes and Hacker, and it may even be half a Hacker that's coming in because he's 50. He's a
50-plus down now.
Yeah.
Light on his toes now.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. He looks like one of those dancing bears that you see at Disney. Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway, he will be hanging out with Hayes. We're going to turn it loose, turn it over to them, and then, like we said, Into the Night with Rick Ballew, and then you got all the coverage with Franch, Pacelli, Logs. They will all be down at the stadium and invite him to Daly's Place tonight, Leon. You'll be there.
Oh, absolutely. Me, Paz, Scobie, we'll be there at Q&A right before the draft, answering the autographs.
All right, love it, love it. All right, we are out. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, thanks to all y'all for hanging out with us. RJ, a good job as always. You never know about the draft. As my Corona Cap match just pointed out, Bart Starr was a 17th round selection. So you never, ever know. Have fun tonight, though. Soak it all in and see what your Jaguars do at 17.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers.